Let us pray together. Thank you, God, for the gift of worship, the gift of music. Oh, God, thank you for giving us a way to express our hearts in such a beautiful way, Lord. We can only imagine, Lord, the ways that we'll be able to do that in glory. Yes, Lord, be glorified here today again. Continue to be glorified. We want to see Jesus Christ today. He is the one who is all beautiful, all glorious, all worthy of our focus and our gaze. God, help me to be out of the way, Lord, that we can see you. And that we can leave this place, Lord, changed. Because you said, Lord, when we gaze at you, we are changed from glory to glory, even into the same image. So, Lord, change us today, I pray, in that mysterious way that you work. Amen. Good morning. God bless you all, and especially bless you visitors that are here today. As I shared the last message that I had on Proverbs, it was kind of the first message I had on Proverbs, and I thought I would be having some other ones because Proverbs is such a full, rich, powerful book. And that's what I'd like to do here today, is to share the second message on Proverbs. The first message I talked about, in a way, the key of understanding all of Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of God. And, you know, this book changes our life. There is nothing more powerful in the world than this Bible to change your life and my life. This is life changing. And one of the ways it changes our life is by causing us to see things the way God sees it. We're surrounded by a world that thinks like the world thinks. And the Bible talks about being conformed to the image of this world or being transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we renew our mind to what God says, it actually changes us. And this morning, that's been my prayer, is that what I could share with you today would be something that would transform you and I. Changing us by the way that we think, the way that we perceive. And the Proverbs, there is no more complete or greater source of wisdom in all the earth than the book of Proverbs. And so, this truth that I want to share with you, I want to share with you one thing today. Very simple. It comes out of Proverbs, but it comes through the whole Bible. And it's a way of looking at life that if we can understand it, will change us as we walk out our life day by day. This time of year, I like this time of year when it's the end of one year, beginning of a new year. I like it because it's a good time to reflect. Where have I been? You know, I'm really glad that it was said by somebody earlier, God didn't do anything by accident. He does everything for a purpose. He made there to be 24 hours in a day. And every 24 hours, there's a new day. And every 7 days, there's a new week. And every so many weeks, every 3.5 weeks or so, there's a new month. Every 3 months, there's a new season. Every 12 months, there's a new year. And so God's given us all these opportunities to start new. How many of you need more than just one once in a while? I find that I need them frequently. Time to push a reset button and say, you know what? I want to change something. I'm not happy with the way things have gone here for a while. And so I see this time of year, starting a new year, you know, it's one of those opportunities that we have to think about where we've been and where do we want to go. And you know, the world even looks at that, don't they? You've heard of New Year's resolutions, right? We've all probably made some of those. The world, man, he says, that's it. I'm going to start over. Tomorrow's the new year, January 1st. I'm going to quit smoking. Or I'm going to lose weight. Or I'm going to, whatever, make more money. I'm going to change something. There's a sense in us that this is an opportunity to start something over here. But, you know, we know that those resolutions don't usually hold out for very long, do they? What I want to share with you today, this truth, is something that will enable you to not just make a resolution, but enable you to actually change. What about your life? What about your finances? Is there something that you need to change this year? Is there something that God is putting on your heart? You know what? I'm not happy with the way things have gone. Something needs to change. What I want to share with you today is something, a key way of looking at life that can actually enable you to change. Maybe you say, you know, I'm not as close to God as I really want to be. I want to be closer to God. We all could probably raise our hand if I asked how many would like to be closer to God. What's going to make the difference to make this year a year that you actually are closer to God? This thing I want to share with you is a key that can actually make you be closer to God next year than you were this year. You can fill in the blanks of whatever it is in your life, whatever your issues are. Maybe you have some relationship problems. I want a better relationship with whoever, my wife, my boss. This truth that we find in the Word of God can enable you to make not just a resolution, but actually to enable you to change in a relationship. We could go on and on. You know, maybe you have some health issues that are caused by habits or you know, things, the way you live. Some that health things aren't caused by that, but maybe you know you have something like that. What's going to make it possible for you to not just make a resolution, not just wish, I really would like this to change, but actually to give you what you need to really change? That's what I'm excited about today, because there's something I can share with you that I believe can help us and you and I to do that. If you're a young person, maybe you want to prepare for the life calling that God has for you. How do you do that? What does it look like? Again, this truth today is something that can enable you not just to wish, but actually to do. And maybe you're not saved here today. You're unsaved, and you know it. What I'm going to share today also applies to you. This truth, if understood, can make a difference between you going on as unsaved or actually crossing over that line, coming to the Lord and being saved. I want to give you a tool today. I want you all to leave here with a tool. All right? You got room for some tools? A tool. And I just want to warn you right up front, this tool is not complicated. It's really simple. But I want to warn you, don't think it's not a powerful tool because it's simple. Some of the most powerful tools on earth are the absolute most simplest. I have a book at home that's called The 100 Greatest Inventions of All Time. Do you know what the number one greatest invention of all time is according to this book? Right there. That's not very complicated, is it? I mean, you can't get a lot more simple than the wheel. But this invention, or this discovery, I think we'd say more accurately, is probably the greatest discovery that has enabled man to do things that he never could do before. Every one of us use this. Does anybody walk here to church today? Anybody? I don't see any hands. We all use this today to get here. These fans are using it. The clock is using it. It's everywhere. How can something so simple be so powerful? So I'm just forewarning you that when you hear what I'm talking about, you might be tempted to say, oh, that's really simple. How can that change my life? Remember the wheel. I'm sure when somebody first discovered the wheel or first came out with it, there were probably some people who looked at that and said, yeah, that's interesting. But, you know, it looks like maybe a game, a toy for the children or whatever. I'm sure there were people who weren't real excited about it. Maybe even somebody gave them one and they just threw it and cast it over by the corner. But, you know, there was other people who looked at that thing and said, whoa, that thing has potential. I've got to think about this. I've got to figure out how to use this in my life. And this tool that I want to give you today, it's kind of like that. It's sort of like a wheel. So don't turn me off when I tell you what it is, all right? Just remember, simple things can be extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. The Christian life is a call to change, is it not?
Amen.
I mean, if it's anything, it's a call to change. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. What is more life-changing than repentance? Right? Its definition is change. I am changing my mind. This isn't the thing I'm talking about, by the way, yet. But the Christian life is a call to change. Romans chapter 8, it says that as many as He foreknew, He predestinated, not to be saved, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now that's a whole lot of change in my life. And I know it's in yours too. You can't imagine as much, you know, more change than that. To take us, like the song says, a child of hell, and make us in His image shine. That's a lot of change. And so the Christian life is a call to change. We're not called to just live out our life as saved and not be changed from glory to glory. Not be transformed. We're called to keep on going with the Lord. And that's what I want. And I know that's what you want too. And so the Christian life is a call to change. How do we change? I said to you earlier, this book right here, there's nothing more life-changing than this. This is it. It's the power of God unto salvation. I want to ask a question. How many of you last year took the challenge? This time last year, there was a challenge given of reading through God's Word in 1 year. How many of you took that challenge? Praise God. You know, a brother brought a whole stack of these Bible reading plans, put them in everybody's mailbox. And many of us decided to do that. And I can attest that it has been life-changing. And in fact, it was so good, I decided to stick them all in your mailboxes today. This Bible reading plan was really a blessing. It's a little different than the ones I tried before and did before, in that most of the ones I've done, you had a reading for every day. So if you're like me, you fall behind a day, 2 days, 3 days, and it gets discouraging. After a while, you're like, I'm not going to make it. This plan here, it's 25 days. In a month. So you have 5 days to catch up. And I have found that very helpful. And I've had to play catch up all year. But you know what? I caught up. And so I want to give you that opportunity. If you don't have a mailbox, there's a stack on the back table back there, the back shelf. That's not my message either. But you know what? There's nothing more life-changing than this book. And you know what I found when I read it through? It's been a while since I'd actually read the whole Bible through. Then I found things that I forgot were in there. And I found some things I didn't even know were in there. And I found prophecies and I found quotes that were in the New Testament that I didn't realize were in the Old Testament. The Christian life is called a change. And it says in James chapter 1, "But the man who looks into the perfect law of liberty," that's God's Word, "he is the one who's blessed. Not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer." And then it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "But we all with open face, as in a glass, as in a mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." God's Word changes us. This truth that I have for you today comes from the Word of God. And I'm trusting it's going to change our life. Manuel, could you come and help me put this up here? I asked my art department if they could make a picture for me. Let's see here. We'll walk up there maybe. All right, you may recognize that's a verse out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. We know he's not talking about, you know, watch your step. Watch out where you're going so you don't trip physically. But he is talking about that spiritually, isn't he? He's saying, ponder, think about where you're going. Think about the path that you're on. And let all your ways be established. In the first six chapters of Proverbs, 30 times it talks about way and path. 30 times just in the first five chapters. And that's what I'm saying. This is a truth that doesn't maybe hit you right off the bat, but it sort of comes on you as you realize, well, this is a different way of thinking here. God's talking about a path. God's talking about a way. What does that mean? You know, we tend not to think in those terms. We tend to think, and the foolish man tends to think of life in the sense of a series of events. There's this event, and then tomorrow there's that event, and another event, and another event. And God says, no, life is not events. Life is a path. And ponder the path that you're on. Quickly look with me as we look at Proverbs chapter 1. I'm just going to read some of these verses to talk about the way and the path. And I just encourage you to look them up on your own. It doesn't stop here. But we know some of the most famous verses in the Bible. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who standeth not in the way of sinners." Okay? And on and on. Here in Proverbs 15, chapter 1, verse 15. "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." 19. "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Verse 31. "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way." Chapter 2. "He keepeth," verse 8, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints." Verse 9, "Then shall you understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, every good path." Goes on in verse 12, "to deliver you from the way of the evil man." 13, "who lead the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." 15, "whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. To deliver you from the strange woman, even the stranger which flatters with her words." Verse 18, "for her house inclines unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous." My favorite verse, chapter 3, 6, "in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." We just see this idea over and over, ways and paths, ways and paths. "Her ways are ways of pleasantness," verse 17. Verse 31, "envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways." Chapter 4, 11, "I have taught you in the way of wisdom and I have led you in right paths." 14, Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light, and shines more and more to the perfect day. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. And then the verse, our title of the message here, verse 26 in chapter 4, ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Thinking like God thinks means that I view life as not in a series of events, not as disconnected things that are happening, but rather it's a path. I'm on a path. I'm in a way. That's what God says when He looks down upon it. And this is the wheel. It may not look like much yet, but don't throw it in the corner. Let me give you the wheel right now. The path you take determines where you end up. Did you catch that? The path you take determines where you end up. You all ended up here today. So I know you took a path that led you here. Right? Okay, it's like a wheel. It's really simple. Come on, Brother Paul. We all knew that. You all took a path. Maybe some of you didn't intend to come here today. I don't know. But you took the path that led here. And so you're here. It's not your intentions that determine where you end up. It's not where you intend to go that determines where you end up. It's what path you take that determines where you end up. This fellow's taking a path. Now, I don't know. Maybe he intended to go somewhere else. But it's guaranteed he's going to end up there. Because he's on the path. Your direction determines your destination. And the path that you're on will determine where you go, where you end up. Just like you're all sitting here today because you took the path that led to Charity Christian Fellowship. We're all here today. I'm here who I am. You're who you are. In large part because of the path that you've been on. Can we escape that? It's inescapable. It's just a simple, profound truth. I am who I am because I've been on a path. And what I'm going to ask you to do today, I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to go home and I want you to ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established. I'm not asking you to make any resolutions. Because we already said they don't usually work real well. But I'm asking you to ponder the paths. Okay, think about it. There's a path that you've been on in your relationship with God. A path. What you do to draw near to Him. How much of this book you read? Do you pray to Him? What choices do you make? You've been on a path. And I've been on a path. And that path has led us exactly where we are right now. No different. Do you see the profoundness of this point here? The path that you take determines where you'll end up. Not where you intend to end up. Intention is not enough. I can intend that I want to be closer to God this year than I've ever been before. And I think most of us would intend that, wouldn't we? I believe you would. I believe you do, and I do. Here's where life change comes in, though, when we consider the way that's going to get us to that place that we want to end up. We fool ourselves. And we all know in the natural realm this principle really well. Everybody knows it. We took a trip to Colorado this summer. We knew very well that if we want to get there, we got to go on I-70. We got to go for 2,000 miles. Okay? I knew that if I got on I-95, I'm not getting to Colorado. Okay? So I got on I-70 and whatever other roads got me there. We all know that. You would say, you're a fool, Brother Paul, if you're telling me you want to go to Colorado and you hop on I-95 South. You know, you're not going to get there. You might end up in Florida, but you're not going to go to Colorado because I-95 doesn't take you there. It's real simple. You got to get on I-70 or I-80 or I-94 or whatever the other southern one is. We all know that. Everybody knows that. Worldly people know that. Christians know that. You got to take the right path. You'd say you're a fool, Brother Paul, if you said you're going to go to Colorado and you're going to get on I-95 and you're just going to pray really hard that God's going to get you to Colorado. Do you think the prayer is going to work? No. You can pray all day and God's not going to get you to Colorado because you're on I-95. Now I guess he could make some ways for you to find your way over to I-70. No. Well, we all know that this is crazy. This is absurd. All right. This is just so basic, so simple. If you want to get to Colorado, you've got to go west 2,000 miles on I-70 or whatever else. But somehow, some way, when it comes to spiritual things, we kind of just lose all track of the fact that there's a map. There's a way. And it's like we're disconnected from reality. And somehow we believe that because we want to get somewhere, we're going to end up there. We fool ourselves. We think intention is enough to get me to my destination. I don't understand it, but I guess it's just part of being a sinner and being, you know, human. Somehow there's a disconnection between the simple reality, the very simple thing, just like the wheel, that if I want to get there, I got to go on that path. I got to take that way. And so we find ourselves ending up in places that we didn't want to go. Now, the wise man, when he finds himself going to a place he didn't want to go, he stops and he says, well, something's wrong. In our country and most places, you know, they have a lot of signs out on the roads. If I got on 95 South and I started seeing signs for Delaware and Maryland, well, you know what? I'd be saying, well, wait a minute. Delaware, Maryland. Okay, something's wrong here, family. We're not going the right way. There's signs. And praise God for signs to redirect us. Likewise, God puts signs in our way. He gives things in our life to say, oh, wait a minute. You're not going on the road that you want to go on. You know, you want to go, you want to end up here, but you're going on the road that goes that way. And so, through the Word of God, through brothers and sisters in Christ and His Holy Spirit, He gives us signs along the way that says, wait a minute, something's wrong. I know I want to go here, but this doesn't look like it's taking me there. So what do we need to do? The path. The key is the path. The reason why many people fail at their resolutions, because they never took into consideration there's a path to get you there. They thought it was just enough to make a decision, just enough to have an intention. And I thought recently about my sister, my big sister. When she was 13, she weighed 180 pounds. She was pretty big. And that wasn't what she wanted to be, but she was on a certain path that led to that. To that. Well, one time we were at my grandma's house. We used to go there every Sunday night. And my uncle was a very tactless man, very insensitive. He just didn't understand how his words hurt people. But you can guess what happened. He kind of exploded on her and he said, you're a disgrace to this family. And I forget all the words he said, but he really let her have it. Well, the fact was, somebody else was a disgrace to the family. But But he told her that she was a disgrace to the family. Well, of course, she ran out of the room, you know, in tears. There was a little explosion of people, you know, telling him he was wrong and so forth. My mother and my grandma ran upstairs to my sister. And they said, you know, we really want to see you change. We want to see you overcome. And she wanted to overcome too. So anyway, they gave her a certain thing they were going to give her if she could overcome this. And she had enough of motivation at this point. You know, I'm willing to do something. I'm willing to take a different path. And she joined up with this Weight Watchers, you know, club they have or whatever. And they taught her a different path. She learned a path that was different than the path that she was on. And because she was so highly motivated, she said, I'm going to go on this path. She was getting ready to enter high school that next year, and she didn't want to be overweight. And so she went on a path. She didn't take any drugs, you know, pills. She didn't drink milkshakes or she wasn't anorexic or any of these things. But she learned about a path, which she faithfully followed. She lost 60 pounds that summer. And to this day, you would never know that she was ever overweight. I was just eating at her house on Friday. And I asked her about it. I said, you know, seems like you've really learned. You learned a path or something at that Weight Watchers, didn't you? And she said, yeah. She said, I did. And she learned how to walk in a path. She's been on that path for 40 years. Now, that's an earthly or, you know, kind of a carnal thing. But that is a path. And it's a real path that people, and maybe some of us, want to go down. We want to end up there. We want to be healthy. We want to be the right weight. It's not a pill. It's not a quick fix. But it is a path. There is a path that you can go on that will get you where you want to go. And so my sister, she found that path. One of the most amazing, maybe I should say, or startling discoveries I made about this principle of a path and how we can be so blinded to the fact that there is a path was when I was in Colorado there. We lived there. I was going to the jail to minister to people. We ministered to a lady who was in jail. She was getting out the next week. She gave me her address, and Laura and I knocked on the door, came to the house, knocked on the door, and a young man answered the door who obviously was her boyfriend. And she wasn't home, but he invited us in. So we came into the house and looked around, and there's beer cans everywhere, cigarette butts all over, you know, just, it was kind of a mess. The picture was just a big party and a worldly thing. So this young man, we began to witness to him, and this fellow began to tell me about how he was a Christian too. And I'm not sure what Laura and I did, but we must have looked funny or something. But he said, well, wait a minute. He said, look, I know, he said. I know I shouldn't be drinking. I know smoking's wrong. He said, I know I'm living in sin. But God knows my heart. I said, well, what makes you think you're a Christian? Well, I gave my life to Jesus at a summer camp, at a Baptist camp when I was 16. You see, he thought that somehow his intentions was enough to get him where he wanted to go. He had no clue that there's a path. You know, that path that he was on is not the path that's going to take you to glory. You know, there is a total disconnect with reality. Yeah, I know I'm drinking, I know I'm smoking, I know I'm living with this girl and I'm not married. But, you know, I mean well, and God knows my heart, and I did ask Jesus into my heart when I was 16. That's not the path. See, fools don't account for the path. They think that my intentions are good enough. Because I have a good desire, that's going to be enough to get me where I want to go. But that's not true. We know that. There's a shocking verse in Proverbs chapter 14. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now think about that. God says there's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that a man is on that he thinks is going to take him where he wants to go. And yet God says that way, when he finally gets there, he's going to be death. It's going to be death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. You know, we could apply that in all kinds of areas in our life. Not just spiritual death, not just final destruction, but some of the ways that we go. It's not life. Let's just think about finances. We'll just take one. Your homework is for you to think about your path, to think about the areas that you struggle in. Is it not a goal that we all have and that God has for us what we might call financial freedom? Maybe I should define it, what I mean by that. In other words, how I define financial freedom, you are free to follow God's will for your life. Your financial situation does not hinder you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. You're able to give. That's freedom. If you're not able to give, then you're not where God wants you to be financially. If you're content with what you have, that is the way of freedom. So there's a certain path in finances that will bring us where God wants us to be. That's the ultimate point, not where I want to be. There's a certain path that you're going to walk down that's going to bring freedom to you, to where you can serve God freely. If He tells you to go, you can go. If He tells you to do, you can do. If He tells you to give, you can give. And you're not bound by the fact that, well, I want to, but I can't. And I know we're all in different places there, but isn't that a goal that we should have? Isn't that a right goal as Christians? That our finances should be in such a place that we are able to do those things. That we're content, first of all, with what we have, whatever that is. But secondly, we're free to give. And thirdly, we're able to follow God no matter what He says. There's a path that will take you there. And the wise man recognizes that fact, and so he makes his decisions based on that. If he's going to buy a house, he's going to think about that. What is that mortgage going to mean to me? Can I make a mortgage that's that high and still be free? Or is that going to run my decisions? Is that going to come back to me every time? Well, I'd really want to, but you know, I've got to pay off the house and I've got a big mortgage. Or are you going to take a smaller something so that you're free? I know that's what I have done. I said to the Lord, I don't want to take anything. I don't want to go down a road that means I can't serve you how you call me. So to me, that meant I have to have a smaller house, you know, because it's more important to me that I can be free to serve God. And I'm not saying you have to buy a house, you know. You may not be able to do that and serve God the way He wants you to. This is just one area we're looking at, finances here. But there's a path. And the path, it's a way. And let me say, you know, in all these things, there's really only two ways, right? The Bible says there's two ways. And no matter what it is, if it's your finances, if it's your marriage, if it's your relationships at home or with your boss, if it's you want a godly home, there's only two ways to go. God's way or the world's way. And if you're like me, you've had, maybe due to ignorance or whatever the case, as a Christian serving God, you've taken some roads that weren't taking you where you wanted to go in some areas. And so, as I said, you know, this time of year is a great time to stop and think. Okay, Lord, this is what my life was last year. This is what I did. You know, I look back and I think, I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I could have been more free to do that. Or I wish something else will change for this year. It's a great time to think about it. But it's not a time to just make a resolution or just a quick decision. But what I'm asking you to do is think about the path. What is the path that you need to take to get closer to God this year? What is that going to really look like? You know, in my finances, when I at the end of the year, I add everything up and I see where I spent all my money, or God's money, I should say. And different times, different years, every year pretty much, I see where I spent money and I say, okay, wait a minute. Next year, I want to do something different. I want to be able to put more of that money here. And so I begin to have a path come to my view of what it's actually going to look like. And I say, you know what, if I'm going to have more money to do that, I've got to take that money from somewhere else. You know what I mean? Last year, I wanted to spend some more money this year, I wanted to spend more money on a certain area. And I thought, okay, you know, I spent this many thousands of dollars on books last year. I don't think I need to spend that much this year, so I'm not going to do that. My path was, I'm not going to buy as many books, you know. That's how God was leading me. So I had a path mapped out for me for this year that looked like a certain thing. So I knew that when I was buying a book, okay, now wait a minute. The path that God wants me to be on this year is a path where I'm not spending X amount of dollars on books. Is this really the book I want, that God wants me to get? Is this really the thing that I need? It actually is freeing. It enables you to go on the road that you want to go on. Because you realize that it's not just an event. I'm not just going into a store and making an event and purchasing a book right now. No, this is the path I'm on. And is this the path that I wanted to be on, or is this another path? And so it's helped me to realize, okay, I'm on a path. It's not just a decision. It's not just an isolated event, but it's actually, this is a road. Now, if this is something that doesn't look like the road that God has mapped out for me, then I recognize that. And if that God may still lead you to do, you know, to buy a book, let's say, just for example. I want you to read that book. Okay, but I recognize that I can't just keep going down that road. Because if I do, I'm going to be in the path that I didn't want to be in. These are kind of natural illustrations, but the wise man understands the path you take get you where you're going to end up. And God says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Let's just look at one here in chapter 7. This is a real, I would say, maybe a classic example of this idea. There's a young man in chapter 7 of Proverbs who thinks he's about to have an event. He doesn't know he's on a path. Okay? And you know, one of the reasons I love Proverbs is because, and I read it with my children, is because it talks about these kind of things in a way that I can explain to my children. It says in verse 6, I looked at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. Here's somebody, here's the wise man. He's looking out the window of his casement. He says, I beheld among the simple ones a man, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. He said, I was looking out the window, I'm watching this guy walk down the road, this young guy, and I saw that he was void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, he knew who she was, the wise man, and he went the way to her house. He thought he was just going to have some fun tonight. He thought, this is just a little event. This isn't my path. I'm not on a path. I'm just, you know, my path is here, but this is just a... No, the wise man said, I discerned he was going away to her house. And then it goes on to describe the scene. I don't know if we'll read it all, but she convinces him that it's okay. It's almost even spiritual, the way she puts it out. With her much fair speech, 21, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And he goeth after her straightway like an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, knoweth not that it's for his life. Now he says, listen to me, you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to her ways. Again, it's a way. And go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell. How many Christian men are there in America who are looking at things that they shouldn't look at? And I don't believe, if you ask them, are you on the way to hell? Looking at that porno on the computer or whatever it might be? Most of them would say, no, you know, I made a mistake. You know, I know I shouldn't have done that. God doesn't say that. He says that's a way. It's a way to hell. Her house leads to hell. Don't fool yourself that it's just a little event. The wise man looked out and he saw the youth and he said, he is void of understanding. I see which way he's going. He's on a way. He's going on a way. And he said, he thinks it's a good way. He thinks, you know, this way looks pretty good. The sun's over there. It looks like a good way. You know, he thinks it's on a good way. But God says, no, it's a way that is going to take you to hell. Many strong men have been slain by that way. I want to convince you today that you no longer can excuse that kind of stuff. I hope none of us are into that. But if, perchance, you are, I want to convince you it's not an event. It's not a slip-up. It's a way. It's a way that goes to hell. Don't let the devil fool you that it's just whatever. Everybody does it. We're weak. That's right. Those things are true, but it's a way. And it's a way that's going to take you where you didn't want to go. So there's an example right there of one where we just get disconnected from reality. We think a little bit of sin, a little bit of lust, it's not a way. It's not a way. And I'd encourage, especially young men, you're not married, maybe you have desires, urges, look at it like that. When you're tempted, see it. This is a way, and I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go down that way. I want to go the way, the highway of holiness. The way that leads to purity. The way that leads to godly strength. The way that enables me to be a man who can be bold as a lion. Because doesn't that way take out your boldness? Turns you into a piece of bread. Turns you into a wimp, spiritually speaking. Even though the world might say the opposite. Oh, it makes you a man. A lie. I hope you'll never think the same about it. I hope you never look at those temptations the same. See it as a way. And it's not the way that leads where you want to go. All right. Do you see the power of this tool? Looking at my life as a path and a way. I'm going somewhere. I'm headed somewhere. And the choices that I'm making right now are taking me either where I want to go or they're taking me where I don't want to go. Well, I talked earlier how, you know, there's probably something here for everybody today, whatever, wherever you find yourself. You think about it. What is the thing in your life that God is speaking to you about? What does He want to change in your life this year? If you want a godly home, remember it's a way. It's a path. It's not just a decision. It's not just I want to have a godly home. You know, there's been many, I would say many people over the years that came to church here because of the godly home and they wanted a godly home. But some of them didn't understand that it's a way. It's a path. It's not just I made a good decision. That's great to make a good decision. Praise God. You know, that's part of the path, making that decision. I want a godly home where Christ is honored and where the children are obedient and where Papa and Mama love each other and love God. That's wonderful. But it's a path. It's not enough to just have an intention. It's not enough to say, I intend to have a godly home. But it's, I want to have a godly home. I intend to, and I'm going to look at what is this thing going to take me. Remember what Jesus said? What man of you going to war against a king who has 5,000 when you only have 2,000? That's not the same as he said, but you know the point. Does not first count the cost. He says, what is it going to take me to do that? And if he realizes he can't make it, he sends out an ambassador. He says, well, let's have peace. And he said, likewise, count the cost if you want to follow me. Whoever doesn't forsake everything he has cannot be my disciple. So this is part of counting the cost with the Lord. Is what is it going to take to get me where he tells me he wants me to be? And for some reason, we disconnect here. Even though we know in the natural, if we want to get to point B, we've got to take way B. In the spiritual, somehow we think that it's just enough that I've got this great desire. And you know what? I've made a decision. We discount the fact that there's a trail, there's a path that we have to follow that's going to get me where God wants me to go. Well, Jesus said a lot of amazing things, but I think one of the most amazing, in John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. The way is a person. The way is Jesus. You need to think about it. All these areas that we might talk about. We talked about finances. Jesus is the way to financial freedom. Okay? If you think about what it takes to get there, I wrote down just a few things, okay? If you're going to get there, first of all, you're going to be diligent, right? The sluggard doesn't have money. The sluggard isn't blessed. So it's diligent. Well, that's the way of Jesus. Laziness is the way of the world. Okay, then, you're going to be frugal. You're not going to just spend money wildly and just on anything that comes into your mind. You're going to think about what you do. That's the way Jesus is. Okay, you're going to sacrifice today for tomorrow. That's what Jesus did, right? He gave up. He took the sufferings today for the blessing that was coming. Not just for him, but for everybody. That's the way to financial freedom. It's the way of Christ. It is him. And you know, that's the bottom line when we get all down to it is if you go home and you find the way that you need to go in through studying God's Word, through counseling with Christians, through the Holy Spirit and prayer, and God gives you, this is the way you need to walk. If you're going to end up here, this is the way you're going to have to get there. We still have a problem, don't we? We still got to walk that way. And that's not just about making a decision. It's not even about finding out what the way is, but it's about, I need Jesus Christ to give me this grace to actually do these things. So I'm not talking about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. He is the way. It's a way of self-denial. Do you want a better marriage relationship? There's a way that's going to get you there, right? There's a path. It's the way of Jesus. Self-denial, being a servant, caring about others' needs, sacrificing today for tomorrow's gain, loving God more than anything else, willing to be misunderstood, maligned, and rejected so that somebody else can be blessed, content with what the Father provides, bearing the sins of another. I know Jesus bore our sins in a way that none of us can, but in a way we have to bear the sins of others too, put up with, love them anyway. Okay, so the way to a marriage, that wonderful marriage that God wants, it's a path, it's the way of Christ. And it's going to mean certain things for each person of us. In your life, it may mean some real particular things that God says, you need to change that. You've got to do that different. And if you follow what I'm saying, you'll get to the way. I mean, the world's way is what? Let's just look at that. Indulge yourself. Sacrifice tomorrow for the pleasures of today. Quick fix. Okay, the world just wants a pill, right? I mean, even physically, someone goes to the doctor, look, I don't want to change my lifestyle. Give me a pill so I can get rid of my symptoms. Right? Not, hey, I've got some signs along the way here. I've got these symptoms. Something's wrong. If your car warning lights go off, you know, you have a couple of options. You can take a hammer and break them, and they won't bother you anymore. Or you can say, I wonder what that light's meaning. There's something wrong. I think I need more oil in the engine. I think that's a better way, right? All right, so but we want a pill. We want to get rid of the symptoms. Well, just give me a pill so I don't feel bad anymore. That's human nature. That's the world's way. We don't want to get to the root. We just want to not feel bad like we are feeling. All right, well, I'm going to close up here. Take some time this week to think about your ways. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about where you've been last year. Think about where God wants you to go this year. And let God show you what you need to change. And in fact, let Him put together in your mind and in your heart a whole way, a whole path that is clear to you. With maybe it's just one area in your life that really, you know, God wants to do it, work in me in this area this year. We can't handle too much if you're like me. You know, maybe one's all we can handle. But get a path in your mind. And then once you've got that path, always remember, it's not an event, it's a path. It's not an occasion, it's a way. So that if I'm not on the way, then I know I'm not on the way. And I'm going to have to get back on that way if I want to end up where the destination that God has given me. Don't throw out the wheel. Don't throw it in the corner because it looks like it's too easy, too stupid, or common sense, or whatever. It's a powerful tool. When you have it settled in your heart that your life is a way, and that you're either on the right one or you're not. And if you're not saved here today, don't fool yourself and say, I intend to get saved. I mean, have you ever heard the expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions? Don't kid yourself. Today is the day of salvation. And if you're not on that way, you're not saved. Amen. And it's not enough to say, well, I intend to get on that way. No, there's only today. You don't know if there's tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. And I urge you, beseech you in Jesus' name, don't be deceived. Don't be going down the way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But go in the way of the Lord. God, help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that there is a way, and Jesus is the way. I pray that you'll change us, Lord. Help us all to change. Help us to not be disappointed in that day, Lord, when we realize we took a road that didn't take us where we meant to go. But I pray, Lord, even this week, that you'll touch each of us and work in us. That we're not going to make resolutions, Father, but we're going to find the way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Proverbs 1 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. To understand a proverb and its interpretation. So,
amen.
I've been blessed just to ponder the word of the Lord this morning, the path of the Lord, the way. Yes, it's good to consider the path that I've traveled this year. And have I been transformed into His image more and more? Or am I being conformed to the world? Which path am I really on? So, good meditation for our hearts. I would like to open up for testimonies or some comments or anything that you'd like to add. Maybe you have changed your path this year. Or maybe you have a good intention to get changed. So Is there anyone? Okay.
I very clearly remember a time when I was facing a temptation for lust and sin. I was making all kinds of excuses for myself and saying, oh, well, it's really not that bad. But when God got a hold of me and showed me the end of the path, mm-hmm. that the fact is I was on the way of death, that's when I really turned to Him, cried out for mercy, said, Lord, I must be delivered now before I get to the end of that path, which is death. God is also just speaking to me this morning very much regarding faith. And then along with that, this message of pondering the way of our feet, pondering the path of our feet. I don't know really what God has for me all, I don't think. But I think I need to take a little bit of time to just do that, ponder, and see what has happened. Where did I put my time? What did I invest my life in? So I was very blessed and challenged with today's message.
Does anyone else put your hands up?
I do.
I really learned a lot from this message this morning. I think the thing that stood out the most to me was the difference between the path and events. Sometimes when a trapper traps for animals, he'll drop morsels of food. He calls it bait, leading right to the trap. The animal comes along and eats each one of those morsels, thinking it's an event while he's walking down the path right to that trap. So I think that is very applicable for our lives. As long as we're looking at life as events, we can be led anywhere. When we look at the path and ponder that, then we can know where we're going and can make wise choices as to what events are good events and what events are headed the wrong way. Ponder gives the idea that don't just go and ignore what's happening to you. It gives the idea of reflecting on it, thinking on it, taking time to look back where I've come, look ahead, where is this headed? And it's something that's well worth doing. If we go our way without pondering, we won't even be thinking where our path is going to end up.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, I was blessed with the thought of the good intentions. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So, you know, as we follow the way, which is Christ, you know, let's be careful to recognize that it's, you know, as Christ leads out and points out the way, he gives commands. And it's in the keeping of those commands that we continue to travel on the way. You know, I think of the runner, he can strive ever so hard to win the prize, and he may be running, you know, as hard as he can, but if he doesn't strive lawfully, if he breaks the rules and all of that, he'll end up being disqualified. So let's remember to strive lawfully, as Christ gives us commands to keep them in our hearts. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mel. Sure is nice to have a map when you're traveling, isn't it? Nowadays, you can also go to the store and buy a GPS. But I haven't learned to trust those things very well. I'd rather actually have the map in front of me and be able to see this road takes me there. A GPS, I'm not sure about that thing yet. But I do want to say that this map here is the map, and the Holy Spirit is way beyond a GPS, let me say that. Just allow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, to guide and direct your every step of the way. He will surely guide you there. And is there any more hands here? I have one up front here.
Brother Paul has shared this message in our cell group a couple weeks ago. And he made a comment that I don't think he made this morning that really blessed me. He said when they went to Colorado, if they would have gotten on the right road, they could have gone 10 miles an hour or they could have gone 90 miles an hour. It doesn't matter how fast or how slow. If you're on the right path, eventually you're going to get there. And so I just wanted to encourage anybody that feels like they grow so slowly. If you're on the right path, you will get there no matter how slowly you go.
Amen. Thank you. Let's have one back here. Mike, go ahead.
So I very much appreciated the word this morning, Brother Paul. Just, it seems like God is giving different ones illustrations to help us to see what was given to us today. And this one came to my mind. I think the difference between responding in situations and reacting is a good illustration of the difference here. You know, when we are in a reactionary mode, I've said this many times, you don't know where you're going to end up when you're in a reactionary mode, because you're not moving with a vision. You're not looking down a road and saying, this is where I'm going. You're reacting to something. And in that reactionary mode, we never know where we're going to end up. And people, dozens of people in reaction, ended up where they never dreamed they would ever be. And it happened a little at a time, but it was a reaction, not a vision. May God help me.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Denny.
Yes, the Lord spoke to me in this message, and thank you, Brother Paul, for being faithful. I'm not sure how God's going to work it out in my life and in our home, but I had to think of the intention and the heart cry that I have to raise godly men. And the Lord convicted me that that happens today, of showing them and teaching them the path, and that it's not going to be enough just to have an intention or a hope of that, but to be faithful today.
Amen. Amen.
I was just reminded today, I know in my life, I know the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable and in all his ways. And I think of the ways, a few things come to my mind where I feel unstable that I need to go home and pray about. And what comes to my mind is that I want this way, but I also want that way. There's an idol there. There's some kind of comfort or whatever that, yeah, I want this, but I want that. And it's just a time again of really deciding what do I really want. Because I can have a good intention in these different areas, but if I don't really turn from self and seek the Lord and crucify that idol and recognize it for what it is, say I can't have both, then it's not going to happen.
Amen. I just thought of the verse that speaks about if we behold Him, the things of earth grow strangely dim. And it's so very crucial for us to keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes focused on Him, the path will lead directly there, and the things will grow dim those things around us will just kind of fade in the background if we keep our eyes on Jesus. And if we do that, He will conform us into His image, transform us. Anyone else here? This is good. Just some meditations, just some simple testimonies from the brothers and sisters here. Maybe there's someone here who never gets up and shares a testimony, but you feel God is speaking to you, telling you about that. So I encourage you to do that. Mind the Lord. Wilmer?
Yes, I feel like today if this would have entered my heart years ago, how different things would be. So I appreciate it, and I feel like I haven't thought through it the whole way yet, but I'll be thinking on it. Something that just came clear to me here, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. And they did not love their lives to the death." I just thought if we would read that a little bit backwards there. If we don't love our lives to death, then there will be salvation and strength in our lives.
Thank you, brother. Is there anyone else?
I have a confession, and I would ask you for accountability on this one. Just as everyone was sharing their different thoughts, the Lord just put it all together, and He's been working in my heart to get me to stand up and pray when He wakes me at night. And I never understood that a person would get up and pray in the middle of the night. I didn't realize that that's something you would do. And He's been working in me for a couple months, and Sister Michelle said something about an idol. And, you know, when He wakes me, I say, "But Lord, I'm tired, I want to sleep." And I see that it's an idol. It fits in with the verse that He gave us in family devotions a couple weeks ago, "Love not sleep." So I want to be accountable to you. Would you please come and ask me next Sunday and the next Sunday how I'm doing, because I really, really want to get over this one. And I need your help. So pray for me, and do ask me if I got up and the Lord wanted me to. Thank you.
And we all expect someone to do that, right? Who would do that? All right. Thank you, brothers. I have one in the back. Sorry.
Yeah. I was wondering if I should share here, and Brother Emmanuel mentioned something to mention that somebody hadn't shared here before, and I felt that was an answer that God wanted me to share here. I've been here for a month and a half now, and I've been richly blessed by fellowshipping here and the way God has been working in my heart. And this morning, His messages were really a really blessing and a challenge to me, and I was convicted that yes, I've been pondering the path and a deep heart's desire that I could go on the right path in learning to abide in Christ. But I realized that I've been failing, especially in the last few weeks, where I've been failing with, you know, I ponder the path of my feet, but it doesn't stop there. It says, "And let all thy ways be established." And I feel like I had been lacking there. I had falling short of more just having an intention of really wanting to, maybe even crying out to God and having this intention, but not sometimes not being willing or being slothful in establishing my ways, and that's not out of my own strength. That is out of brokenness and surrender to God. That's the only way I can establish them, and that's where I realized I was falling short. And also I realized I was thinking things that were, I felt like I had been failing were, or things that I did wrong or where I stumbled. I just clearly saw that I had not been looking ahead. What is the end of this path? Where does it bring me? What is my goal? In that same passage before that verse and after, it speaks about looking straight on, looking straight forward, and looking to the left or to the right. And that's my desire, and my heart longs out that I could establish my ways through brokenness, through surrender. And I've been blessed. Thank you for the fellowship, for the love that you show here as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Thank you, Glenn. We have one in the back.
Yes, I was thinking about a connection between the opening message and the our ponderings in Proverbs, and that is that all maps are written. You know, we take a literal map we use as a road map. Someone wrote that map. And we have to trust the one who wrote that map. We have to have absolute confidence that what they have written down gets us to where we want to go if we follow it. And in this case, of course, it's trusting the author of the book that it will get us to where we want to go. I was thinking of your illustration of the GPS. I pondered that one a bit too. In that case, it uses the same maps, but we're trusting somebody else to tell us where that map should take us, rather than looking for ourselves, like the Bereans did when they even listened to the Apostle Paul preach. They still checked it out on the map, see if this is going where he says it's going. I don't trust GPSs either.
All right, do we have any more here? One more.
I was blessed. Praise the Lord. It's good to sit under the preaching of the Word. And I don't trust the GPS. I was left sitting in the middle of a cornfield, and it said, "You have reached your destination." But anyway, I want to encourage a brother here who doesn't want to get up and pray. You know, I have had the sweetest prayers of my life at 2-3 in the morning with my Lord Jesus Christ. Who else is on this earth that you would want to spend time with if you can't spend it with Him when He wakes you? I don't get up all the time, but it has definitely been the sweetest time of my life in the middle of the night. God is, that's when it's quiet, nobody to interrupt, and it's been good. God bless you.
Thank you for that encouragement. Amen. All right, thank you all for your offering and your part in the service. It's such a joy and blessing to hear responses from the congregation. I know that we need to hear from the Lord and know that we're pleasing to Him, but it's also a blessing to know that that which we bring is a blessing to the people. So. Thank you, Brother Paul, for laboring in the Word. Seemed like you really worked hard to bring across that one clear, simple point. And I think we got it. Praise God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.